All right, Madtown, it is your girl, Brandi Grayson, here on 92.7 FM, WDMX. You are tuned in to the Black Conversion Show, and today I have a co-host, one of my favorite Black women in leadership in Madison, Wisconsin. Who the heck are you?
My name is Dana Pelabon.
Okay, Dana Pelabon. Doesn't that sound like a superhero name? Pelabon, 007, number 8. So anyway, I invited Dana to join me today on the Black Conversion Show. We're going to talk about Black women leadership, and specifically in Dane County, and how our white progressives and everyone who's running all of our systems and like government bodies play into the destruction and like the I don't really have a word for it. What would you call it, Dana?
Play into the stereotypes, the characterizations, the how it is that we have been portrayed without our permission and our input. They play into all of that.
Yeah, and how I feel like even in this new environment we exist in, like I believe the environment was already out there, the white supremacy, it's just loud now. And I also feel like it's giving people more permission to be racist. Before, it was like people were kind of tiptoeing around their racism and their anti-blackness because they didn't want to be tokenized or identified as anti-black because black power, Black Lives Matter had been trending. And now it's like it's okay to be racist, it's okay to dismiss black work, black bodies, black organizations, Black needs, vulnerable populations, because Trump is doing it, right? It's okay to break laws and break rules. It's just messy out here in Dane County, and some of us act like we don't know. So we're going to talk about it today, but before we get to talking about it, I'm going to do a check-in with my girl, Dana Pelabon. But before we do that, I want to do something different. I want to start off my show today with a spoken word from this Black woman. I forgot to write her name down because I always do that. Did you get her name, Luke?
The poem is by Two Kid Sim.
Two Kim Sim. I don't know who that is, but it is bomb diggity bomb. It says, the name of the poem is Shout Out to Me. And I want this really to be an episode dedicated to Black women. And when I first heard it, I felt it, because shout out to me. Shout out to all the Black women that are transgressing and transmuting this negative energy and still showing up in light and joy. Shout out to y'all Black women for doing the work unapologetically without being moved, because we are moved. And shout out to you, Black woman and Black women, for being the beginning of time, and never forget that. So go ahead, Luke, play this so we can set the tone for our day, okay?
Shout out to me. Yeah. Yep. I made it through adversity and separated from toxicity even when it hurted me. I stood on all 10 and found support within myself when other people deserted me. I took L after L, but never let this stop me. Stacked them L's up till I got to the top like Tetris taught me. Kept moving till I seen progress. I could have crashed out a million times, but I kept my mind straight. Used the lessons I learned to help navigate similar situations, and finally made it out the cycle to see my elevation. So shout out to me for keeping the faith. For remembering that God got me even when I was looking the devil in the face. Shout out to me for never letting me forget who I was. For staying humble when they disrespected, gave my revenge to the Lord. Shout out to me for developing and accepting my purpose. For forgiving myself for treatment I accepted when I didn't know what my worth was. Shout out to me for breaking generational curses. For shaking myself awake when I was dozing off on me. When you chosen, the enemy want to keep you asleep. Make sure you never wake up and see you got a destiny so heavy. Demons attack from the east and the west and the north and the south. Be having meetings about taking you out, but I took them battles head on and I'm standing here now. Shout out to me, because I made it through hatred, disguised as admiration. When my mind was infiltrated by Satan, I prayed through it. Shout out to me for staying true to my morals and my beliefs. Shout out to me for staying positive through negativity. For working for what I wanted, nothing was given to me. Set this life out the trenches God gifted to me. But I made the best out of it and kept my faith in the sun when storms was all I seen. I could have crashed out, but I didn't. Now I'm sitting in these days that used to be dreams. Finally, I'm where I'm supposed to be, and so I owe it to myself to give a shout out to me.
Yes. Okay, period, point blank, and period. So again, shout out to all the Black women this morning tuned in and listening. You're tuned into the Black Conversion Show with your hostess, Brandi Grayson, and my co-host,
Dana Pelavon.
And we are talking today about Black women leadership and the phenomenal work that Black women are doing. So shout out to y'all again, because y'all are the bomb diggity. We are the bomb diggity, the beginning of time. And I'm going to remind you that, not the end of time, the beginning of time. This world revolves around us, whether people give you the kudos or not. Sometimes we got to kudos ourselves. So let me go ahead and start checking in with you, Black woman. How are you doing and what the heck's been going on?
Ooh, well, I am doing better. So, you know, people who know me may know a little bit about what's going on. I've been very outspoken about some medical issues I've had lately as a woman going through menopause. And I recently had a hysterectomy and healing from that. And also noting as a Black woman, and as somebody that is leading spaces, I am unable to heal in the way that I need to heal because work still got to be done.
That right? is true. Yeah, you still got to get the work done.
Still got to get the work done. So I am back to work, probably before I should be.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, making sure that if I am having pain, I lay myself down. I am learning better to take care of myself because I have friends mm-hmm. like Brandy mm-hmm. and April and Sabrina mm-hmm. that are always yelling at me.
Yes, sit your butt down.
To say mm-hmm. you need to sit down a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I am working through self-care and understanding what that means in the context of somebody that is always expected
to be on fire.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you. Okay, well, I'm glad for you to share that. Now, Luke, my white boy, how are you doing?
I'm thankful it's Saturday. It's been a week, but you know,
it's been a week.
We're making it through. It's Saturday.
And where were you at our Harvest Fest, Luke?
I know. We're family in town, but next year.
Okay, next year, Mama.
Next year.
All right, I guess I'll forgive Luke. Okay, and for me, I'm okay. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. Life be lifing, but I am so deliberate in creating my joy, rooting myself in joy, and I'm just celebrating. Like I said, shout out to me, Black woman. Shout out to me, because, oh, Lord, the devil be moving, the liars be lying. Girl, they be making up all kind of stuff, but we ain't even going to give them the time and day. We're going to focus on the conversation we came to have, and that is Black woman leadership and Black women in leadership. So as a Black woman in leadership and someone who has built Urban Triage from the ground up, and I mean literally from the ground up, at my kitchen table with a couple volunteers and just with a hope and a dream, okay, and a passion, we currently have 23 staff and we have 3 office locations, and I have to say I'm pretty proud of the work that we do. But part of what is always at the back of the work, or let's just say the front of it, is the white folks who constantly are hating, and no matter what we deliver or how amazing we do, they hate. Even the white people who say we're on the same team be showing up at meetings hating and throwing us under the bus. And you know, I get the calls and I just call people, right? So I'm not even gonna say the person's name, but I gave her a call like, girl, I heard you was throwing me under the bus yesterday, right? And I just want to know what that's about. And her response was, if I did throw you under the bus, it wasn't intentional. And I don't know how you unintentionally throw somebody under the bus.
I think that it is so rote and routine for us to be thrown under the bus that it is a part of the dialogue.
Yeah.
That is the regular part of the dialogue.
Yeah, I agree. And the thing about it, this conversation was around housing. Now, Urban Triage is everywhere in housing. We're everywhere, but we're nowhere. Meaning that we're doing all the work in the background. And the only time you hear from white people, white counterparts, is when they need a fall guy.
Yes.
When they want to point to something not getting done and say, well, it's Urban Triage. But when it's time to celebrate the work that we do accomplish with the little that we have in the homeless system in Dane County, y'all don't even mention us. Y'all don't invite us to the table. We're not part of the conversation. We're not part of the consideration. Now, this particular conversation, I'm not going to get into details about because it's really not important. I just want to use it as an example of how white people show up as it relates to Black leadership. But one of the things I will recognize and celebrate for us is that the folks in the group of people we're talking about have been part of this other organization for years and hadn't been housed. We end up, you know, getting a contract, working with these group of people and housing like 7 people in 4 months, which is huge when you have people with high barriers that are chronically homeless and that no one will house, no one will sign a lease with them. And Urban Triage is able to do that because of our relationships with landlords and regional managers and people that we've developed these relationships with. But in conversations, people will say, well, Urban Triage isn't doing their job, but you've had the job for 3 years and what have you done, right?
Exactly.
So it's really weird that people do that to us, but is it weird, Dana?
It's, again, it is rote and routine. So mm-hmm. you have organizations that have been doing homeless services for decades.
Decades. And
housing hasn't gotten better. Housing mm-hmm. has actually gotten worse. We mm-hmm. have less stock. We have less availability for people. And the fact that you are getting any guff when you have less money to run the programs, mm-hmm. the programs are already losing funding, mm-hmm. and then you should miraculously find housing
yep.
that people haven't been able to find for years.
Years. And mind you, we do, right? So shout out to Eco Suites. Is it Eco Suites? Eco Suites. Anyway. They're like this hotel, one bedroom, long stay hotel. We are partnering with them, and I'm super excited about that, to offer folks who, again, are hard to house. And a lot of our folks are on sex registry. So a lot of our folks suffer from mental wellness challenges. Some people are afraid to live on their own because they've been in the streets for so long. And then we have other agencies that say things like, oh, these folks want to be homeless. They don't want to be homeless. They want to have a community. And sometimes when you have a community, even if you're on the street, that feels better than being alone.
Yes.
Okay. So I it just bothers me that we don't understand humans and the humanity of people. And we don't understand how our brains work or our nervous system work or the side effects of trauma. So you're tuned into the Black Conversion Show, you know, with your girl, your favorite Black woman, where you love to hate, hate to love. That's me, Brandi Grayson, co-host Dana Pelabon, talking about Black women leadership. I started off talking about the work that Urban Triage does in housing and how Urban Triage is often the fall guy for people when it comes to housing, right? We only been doing it for a short amount of time, but for some reason, white people think that we're going to come and wave a magic wand and fix it all. Isn't that what they do to us? Aren't we like the superhero magicians?
We are the superhero magicians mm-hmm. because here's the other thing. Mm-hmm. We figure it out.
Yeah, we do.
And mm-hmm. and this is the rub when you have people who have the expectations. We have no choice but to meet those expectations.
Yeah, that's real.
Because us not meeting that expectation means that we lose jobs. Mm-hmm. We lose our homes. Mm-hmm. So the expectation for us to be beyond excellent, mm-hmm. to do work that nobody else has done. Mm-hmm. And we rise to it.
Don't we?
Because we have always had to this country.
Didn't we? Ain't we? All that. Shout out to you, Black woman and Black women doing the work, not only in leadership, but in your worlds, in your homes. Like, I just don't, I want to yell sometimes at white people and say, you don't even know what it takes to wake up as a Black person. And I also want to shout at Black people who are in these institutions that treat Black people like white people treat Black people, as you don't understand the flight or the environment of Blackness. Like, what is happening? Or you're regurgitating the narratives of whiteness and reading white books and white psychology about children that does not look like your children. Because I want to talk about that too here on the Black Conversion Show. You're tuned in to 92.7 FM WMDX with your favorite hostess with the mostest, Brandi Grayson, and my co-host for the day,
Dana Pelabon.
Now, you want to stay tuned because when we come back, we're going to talk about the article that dropped by Sabrina Madison, who's an Alder person. I'm not sure what district she's in. What district she in?
Well, what Sabrina would say is the best district.
The best district. Okay, so stay tuned. We're going to talk about that and then education for Black children and Black women leadership. We'll be back in a gift. From behind, reflection in the
mirror, don't decline. You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Okay, Luke, we see you and hear you with the Beyonce here on 92.7 FM, WMDX with your girl, Brandi Grayson. You are tuned into the Black Conversion Show with my co-host,
Dana Pelabon.
All right, y'all heard how that dropped on the beat. That's Black Women Excellence and Rhythm, okay? Okay, anyway, before break, we were talking about the phenomenal work of Black people, specifically Black women in Dane County. And if y'all don't know, and you might not be part of the Black community, but if you're paying attention at all, there's Black businesses popping up. There's Black organizations doing amazing things. We have the Black Excellence Center that's going to be opening soon on Park Street, ran by Nehemiah, headed by Pastor G of Fountain of Life Church and his sister
and Jason Fields, the CEO.
And then I'm super excited about the Black Excellence Center opening. It's just gonna be everything. Look them up, okay? And also shout out to the Black Hub. I call it the Black Hub, but is it the Black Hub?
It's just the Hub.
Okay, we're gonna call it the Black Hub, and it's ran by Urban League. The focus is Black businesses providing incubation. Is that how you say it? Incubation.
Incubation.
So you see how I messed up the word? Don't worry about it. You knew what I meant.
That's right.
It's a space for Black businesses. They have restaurants. They have, my favorite place is the Rasta Barista, the Jamaican cafe.
My favorite place has the wine and the cupcakes, tailor-made.
I like me some cupcakes. It's Nicole. What's the name of her business?
Taylor Nicole.
So anyway, check out the Hub. Check out all the Black people doing amazing thing. Also, shout out to Crash Box, which is a new business ran by Sarah Branch. This particular business is where you go to rage out.
Yes.
And I think it's the best therapy. Come and splash some paint. Come and break some things. Sarah Branch actually was part of one of our Supporting Healthy Black Families work groups, and we did a raging therapy thing, and we got a car, and we beat the car. And Sarah was like, that was one of the best things she did. And then she went on to open a business.
She sure did.
And I love it, because that's exactly what Blackness does.
And
okay?
let's also bring in people like that did Black on State, who did Mad Lit. I mean, we have a lot of really great things happening.
Mayberry, Shout out to all of y'all. Shout out to y'all, okay? Shout out to my sisters, as always. I'm getting all my earrings from. Shout out to y'all.
Oh, yes.
Okay?
Stephanie, I have spent so much money.
Okay, so shout
so
out.
Much money.
So much, okay? So we are doing big things. So even though, you know, when we get portrayed or people want to talk about us, it's not in the best light always, but we are moving exceptionally in Madison, Wisconsin, in Dane County, regardless. So what I want to focus on is this article, though, by Sabrina Madison, an alderperson here in Madison, Wisconsin. She sits on the city council. Come on, Dana, tell us. What did she write about? What did she say?
So, you know, the name of the article is Protecting Black Women's Leadership in a City That Calls Itself Progressive. Mm. And the thing I like about it says it calls itself progressive. Mm. Because the reality is that it is only as progressive as they would like to see their own power established and maintained.
It's only as progressive as those electric Toyotas they drive. Okay, my bad. Okay, go ahead, Dana.
Yes. So she was focusing a little bit on what her experience was dealing with the Dairy Drive encampment.
Oh.
And how it is that she was voting along those lines. Mm. And, you know, this is somebody who has a long history of progressive ideas, business plans, helping people in the community. In addition, as an alder, progressive votes all the way around, but she wasn't voting the way that people wanted on this one issue.
Okay.
And so how progressives then treated her was out the box. And I know what that's like, because the same thing happened to me with the Dane County Jail.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's the same thing that happened to me when I ran for alderperson. And the progressive, there is a group called Dane County Progressives, isn't it? And what's the name of their group? It's like a third party Democratic Party, but they control a lot of city council. And I say they control because I think Tag Evans is part of their group.
I don't think so.
Yeah, he was.
Was he?
When I was running for alder, yes, he was.
I have no idea.
Yeah, so anyway, what happened is I wouldn't support someone who was running for alderperson to become a member of this group because they had did some racist stuff. And I actually don't remember the detail, but it was a white dude. And it might have been Tag, or it might have been someone that was supposed to be progressive but had showed up in spaces anti-Black. And when I identified it and pointed out, their response was, well, we have to hold space and allow people to grow. And I said, well, that's not acceptable for me. And because if we don't hold people accountable for their behavior, like you like to hold Black people accountable for the, you know, for things that we're not even accountable for, then to me, we have a problem. So they decided not want to endorse me, which really cost me the election, which is probably the best thing that ever happened. But they're called Dane Progressives. And they're like this group of folks who run stuff in the quiet, of white people who are the loudest all the time when it comes to politics. And I don't know all the politics anymore because I've been just kind of moving myself in out of that space and focusing on the organization that I run and the people that I serve. But tell us more. That was just me digressing here on Black Conversion Show. You're tuned in to the Brandi Grayson Show, okay? On WMDX 92.7 FM. My co-host today is Dana Pelabon. What else did Sabrina Madison say in that article?
So she wanted to very specifically point out ways that white progressives here use to undermine our leadership. Allyship, weaponizing civility, gaslighting, character attacks, public targeting, erasure, projection of harm, tokenism and co-optation, coded undermining, questioning our tone, professionalism, gatekeeping resources, running us out of town.
Oh, they sure do. They be making, look, I've been tempted to leave y'all, okay?
I mean, I will say it is a struggle.
Yeah.
It is a struggle to be a Black woman in this space.
Yeah, it is. Because y'all just so ugly. And I mean, not ugly like in your face, but ugly in your heart, even with our children, even in the work that we do. You know, I don't even know what to say about it. Sometimes I'm actually lost for words for how people show up. Because the more good we do, the more exceptional our work is, the madder people seem to get.
They do. And also, let's bring in the fact that certain Black women in leadership receive a higher level of scrutiny. And I like to point out the differences when it has me and you.
Okay.
Because me and you say a lot of the same things.
You know, but you was a little lighter skin.
I'm a little lighter skin.
You a little lighter skin, a little highlighted.
With a little highlight.
So we're going
to
talk about
to cover
that
the gray.
When we return here on 92.7 FM WMDX with your girl Brandi Grayson on the Black Conversion Show, the Politics and Tea Show, where we say what needs to be said and sometimes it don't always feel good. You don't want to miss it. Stay tuned. All right, we're slowing down a little bit, Luke. I feel you. You're trying to tell me my energy too high. All right, here on the Black Conversion Show, you're tuned in to me, Brandi Grayson, on 92.7 FM WMDX with my co-host for the day,
Dana Pelabon.
All right, two strong Black women. Prior to the break, we were talking about the differential treatment of Black women in leadership. And no matter how extraordinary you are, the white progressives will always find a reason to tokenize you, to gatekeep, to throw you under the bus directly and indirectly and blame it on a mistake. And how people hate when you are exceptional at what you do. People say, hey, we need Black people. We need representation. We need lived experience. And Urban Triage has literally built the organization rooted in lived experience. And we have definitely built the organization that's powerful, serving our people with the little resources that we have. And instead of people saying that out loud, they say the little things like, oh, we got a complaint that your sign wasn't up. So anyway, I want to talk to you about, continue the conversation, I want to talk to you about colorism.
Yes.
Why the conversation sounds differently coming from me versus coming from Dana. I've been in rooms with Dana where I've said things, and I'm a smiley Black woman, okay? Because
yes,
I've learned with these white people, I better smile because my tone and my power offends them. So I'm smiling. I always say, I know this is uncomfortable. Let's have these conversations. I'm here for a clearing. I'm all about relationship building. So let's clear this. Let's talk through it. What do you need to feel safe? Because that's what playing chess has taught me in the progressive white spaces. And Dana, though, she actually doesn't say that or act like that. Do you, Dana?
Not even a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Tell us more, Dana.
So, you know, the thing that I have found, and actually one of the reasons why I like going to meetings with Brandi is because we do say the same things, but Brandi is a heck of a lot nicer than me. But when Brandi speaks, people go out of their way to misunderstand what it is that she is saying.
Mm-hmm.
Literally out of their way. And I have been in meetings because, you know, I am the president of the board of Urban Triage. And I'm very proud of that and very proud of the work that they do. So when I am in my capacity as a board member and I go to a meeting and Brandi is saying all of these really nice words and people are going out of their way to misinterpret, to say things, to not understand. And then I'll just stop the meeting and I'll say,
yep.
here is what it is that she said. And since you couldn't hear it nice, you're going to hear it from me. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, we all hear and understand mm-hmm. because it's come out of my face. Mm-hmm. And I will say, I actually purposefully am a little condescending and rude
yeah.
because I want them to understand the difference. And I want to show that this is the thing that's happened, is that they are listening to my face mm-hmm. because my face is a lighter skin face. Mm-hmm. And they unconsciously or consciously view me as less of a threat than Brandy mm-hmm. because Brandy is darker skin, and that is not okay. And I will point it out every single time.
Yeah. And I think sometimes people known as Black don't understand that dynamic either of no. colorism. And no. they get offended when you point it out. When I point out to my lighter skin brothers and sisters, like, the reason that they can hear you is because of your skin tone, not because I'm offensive. And oftentimes people will fall on the side of our white counterparts. Come on, Brandy. Maybe we just need to talk less with your hands and understand nope. that people don't understand racism, or your words are too big, or your tone is not appropriate.
And I have purposefully not checked my tone.
Because Dana's a beast. She's a beast.
You know, because here's the reality. People don't check their tone with me.
That's true.
And I have come to the conclusion that in this city, that mm-hmm. you have to match energy. Mm. And so you come at me, I'm coming back. Mm-hmm. Because it doesn't matter if a white man does it. Mm-hmm. If a Black man does it.
Mm-hmm, that's true.
If a white woman doesn't, and then you add in the tears that happen with white women on top of it.
Oh, my God.
So I just go, I'm going to be who I am, because no matter what it is that I do.
You're going to misunderstand me.
You're going to misunderstand me anyway. Yeah. And then if I'm in the room with you, they're going to double misunderstand you. Mm-hmm. And I am sorry. People who are light skinned, mm-hmm. the definition of colorism is not about your harm.
Okay.
It is about harm to darker skin folks.
Yes.
So let's make ourselves really clear about what colorism is, because we have privileges and you cannot erase those privileges just because you are also known as Black.
Black. Yeah. Come on now. You're tuned into the Black Conversion Show with your girl, Brandy Grayson, the hostess with the mostest, with my co-host today,
Dana Pellebon.
And we're just talking about Black women in leadership and all these words that I think that you guys should write down and then look them up and then read about them. And part of this that occurs is the trauma, right? And there's been times where I'm able to hold space for the whiteness. And there's times where I've been able to call on my white translators or my lighter hue brothers or sisters to translate what I am saying. Because when I speak, it's almost like she's saying blah, 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 blah. And then they repeat. I'm like, I didn't even say that.
Right.
That is not what I just said. Am I crazy or are you crazy? You right. You crazy. And a lot of times you have to start doing the reflection to understand what's yours and what's not yours, because people will project their bull crap on you and then blame you for the bull crap that they've created. Anything else you want to say about Sabrina Madison's article, white progressives? Y'all, shout out to my white progressive. Y'all really need to get it together. Y'all need to start y'all a white progressive group that really deals with your anti-Blackness and your misogynoir and your hate for dark-skinned Black people and Black women in particular. Y'all, I can feel the energy as soon as I walk in the room. And there are some white folks who always got my back, and thank God that y'all got my back, because the other white people will eat urban triage alive. So anyway, back to the article.
So the thing that I think that is important is mm-hmm. she gives a whole list of good book recommendations. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of bell hooks. There's Audre yes. Lorde, Stacey mm-hmm. Abrams, Sensei Bowen. I also want to throw out Dr. Sammy Schock, mm-hmm. put her on this list, Black Disability Politics, because let me say also, Black folks with disabilities, not seen. Mm. LGBTQ Black folks,
not seen.
Not seen. Yeah. So, you know, there are things that all of us can learn and can deconstruct, because, you know, one of the important quotes that is in this article in particular is from Bell Hooks. Black folks who love Blackness, that is, who have decolonized our minds and broken with the kind of white supremacist thinking that suggests we are inferior, inadequate, marked by victimization, etc., often find that we are punished by society for daring to break with the status quo. Mm. On our jobs, when we express our decolonized standpoint, we are seen as being unfriendly or dangerous. Mm. And this is the analysis the analysis of Black women. You know, people here love to say, listen to Black women, but they
trust
don't
Black
actually,
women.
Right, but they ain't actually listening.
Not at all.
You may hear words that come out of our mouth, but that's not the same.
Right.
And Black folks also need to listen and decolonize our minds because sometimes we stand in our own way.
Yes, we do. Amen to that. On 92.7 FM, the Black Conversion Show, where everything's Black-centered, Black-focused, and Blackity-Black by the Blackitest woman in town, okay? And not maybe not the Blackitest, but the Blackity, you know what I'm saying? So part of the conversation around racism and addressing it, I met with some Black people the other day, and they said, how do you do this? How do you navigate it? Because I'm coming in this Black man. I'm not telling y'all people names, but we're talking about him in leadership and how white women come into meetings fetishizing him, sexualizing him, touching his hand and saying things to him. And like, I wouldn't mind if you did it, and their husband's in the other room because he's there trying to get funding for something.
Yes.
Like, it is sick, y'all. Y'all is sick. Like, and the...
Oh, and Brandy, it happens to you and I. Brandy and I will be somewhere, and anytime we are together, we have some older white man that come up to us and will touch us, grab, like, it is, it is wild. It is wild.
These old white men be ready. Shout out to all the old white men. If you like to write a check, please do so. Send it to 2312 South Park Street, Urban Triage. Attention, Brandy Grayson. We accept checks at any time. If you like us so much, then donate. Continue the support of the work.
Yes, online, you can be a monthly donor. Please do so.
Immediately. So part of the conversation I was having with these two beautiful Black people is like the strategy. What is the strategy right now? And I'm just going to be real with y'all. My strategy is putting white face on it because I'm tired.
I mean, honestly, my strategy is survival.
Mm-mm, I'm not surviving no more. I'm thriving. Forget that, Dana.
You know what? I'm tired. I just turned 50, y'all. It is a different. You know, I'm a few years older than you. I'm a few years tireder than you. and you know, for me in particular, you know, because I ran for office and because that exposed me to a thing
different
that was
level.
That was a different level. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, it was during the presidential election, which then amped up the amount of racism and sexism that came to my face.
Yeah.
I'm in a different place of being tired.
Mm.
And I have to, as a Black woman, really... protect my peace now.
Yes.
I work real hard to protect my peace. I work real hard to surround myself with Black women that I trust.
Yeah.
Which is why, you know, you don't see me at a lot of places right now. Because that is the restoration that has to happen after that trauma. So right now, I'm in that survival mode.
Yeah.
Will I begin to thrive? I'm starting, right?
Yeah.
But it is a cyclical thing that happens for us because we have to go through trauma to push through to this next level, right?
Amen. Yeah.
And then we thrive at that next level. Mm-hmm. And then we have to go through whatever the next thing is.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody experiences that on some level, but the compounded trauma for us, in addition to the barriers that exist, the barriers that are put in place, the purposeful harm that comes
very
to
intentional.
Us.
Very intentional.
Yes, intentional. That brings it to a different space when you are a Black woman in a space.
Yeah. And again, this is the Black Conversion Show, focusing on Black with your girl, Brandy Grayson. So part of this conversation for me is like the lack of grace and the lack of humanity given to Black women. Y'all really think we superheroes. I had someone, you know, people call me every day on Facebook, emails, personal texts, WhatsApp, and I respond as much as I can. I'm back to back in meetings. I'm putting out fires in between my meetings. And if you ever followed me around for the day, you'll probably be like, how do you even do this? And then I'm responding to my staff who are constantly in need of affirmation, edification, having questions answered, of course. We do hire the people we serve, which means that they're coming with their own trauma, their own family life issues. So I'm helping them navigate that, navigating my life being in an abusive relationship. But most people don't even believe that Black women can be abused. So then there's lack of sympathy and empathy. And then people expect you to, because you stand in a certain position, to never even allow yourself to be abused. You know what I mean? It's like this level of expectation, whereas white women are given grace when they're abused because you can actually see their humanity. It's like, oh my God, I can't believe that happened to you. What can we do to support you? As with someone like myself, it's like, I can't believe you allowed yourself to be in that and you should be ashamed of yourself. You see the different framework of that? And what I want to encourage people known as black to do, and just forget the white people, forget the white systems. We have to be the people who extend grace to us. We have to stop vomiting on one another. Even if you don't like each other, you don't like something someone's doing or saying, like, we have to be the ones that understand like what trauma looks like and what it means to have to be a person, a black person in a black body carrying generational trauma. So I'm not just carrying my trauma. I'm carrying my mama's trauma, my mama's trauma, all the way back to enslavement. And part of our work as a body of people is to break those generational curses and show up differently. But we can't do that if we're not even acknowledging that those things exist.
Right. And there is a dehumanization,
yes,
of black women. But mm-hmm. that is a part of the system.
Yeah.
We have been dehumanized
so
when
much.
We were mm-hmm. bred, mm-hmm. right? When we were the people that had to take care of people, when there were laws passed that ensured that we could not stay home with our children, mm-hmm. but had to go to work to take care of white folks' children.
And put your white baby on my black that you didn't believe is good enough. Ain't that something? So you let your baby suck on an animal, but we'll talk about that later. All right, you're tuned into the Black Convergence Show here on 92.7 FM with your girl, Brandi Grayson, and my co-host,
Dana Pelabon.
Return in a minute.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
All right, we are back here on the Black Convergence Show on 92.7 FM with your girl, Brandi Grayson, and my co-host today,
Dana Pelabon.
All right, as you guys have been tuning in, we've been talking about black women leadership. Please find Madison 365 article by Sabrina Madison. She breaks it down. She is an Alder person. You can also find the link on the recording on live or whatever that is on Civic Media, on Black Convergence Show, on Brandi Grayson Facebook. Check it out. Check out the article. We talked about colorism, misogyny, racism, all the isms, progressive, fake white, progressive racism. And I remember Martin Luther King saying, like, we really messed up. And I can't remember the exact quote, but our greatest, I'm about to mess it up. Y'all know what quote I'm talking about? Luke, you know?
Is it?
I think I know.
What is it, Luke?
The biggest concern that he had was not the racist, but the quiet moderate.
Yeah, yeah. Moderates.
White moderates.
The white moderates, the liberals that and the progressive who don't get what you are doing or get how white supremacy is indoctrinated and it's insidious. It's in our blood. It's in our bodies. It's in the character, our characterizations of self and others. So anyway, we're going to move past that. What I also wanted to talk about a little bit is how people known as black are unable to see our own trauma. As you guys know, Messiah is in fifth grade. He's been homeschooled most of his life. This year, he's struggling. Like, he's struggling big time. And it's one of the things I was afraid of. Last year, he had an amazing teacher, Mrs. Rodriguez. She was such a loving teacher. Like, yeah. She exuberated love and encouragement and exuberated the gift of being a teacher. Like, there's people who are teachers who love it. And there's people who are teachers who don't even like their jobs.
Yes.
And I feel like Messiah is in a space where he's surrounded by people who don't like their jobs. And I say that because I never see them smiling. I walk in on them occasionally. I come into the front desk. People are just mad. Even the black lady that sits at the desk is mad. She's never happy. I come in like, good morning. She's like, yeah, whatever. Like, girl, what you mad at me for? Like, y'all really need to fix y'all attitudes. And this is to all black people, right? Because part of the trauma is that it's so embedded in our nervous system that it comes spilling out of us. And the thing that I teach my staff and I teach everybody as I do this personal leadership and development work, I'm creating me, creating you, creating me. So however you think you are and whoever you think you're being, you project on me and then I project it back. So whatever energy you give in those children, they're giving it back to you. And it's causing my baby not to be okay. Like, he is a kinetic being. Like, anything he feels, he says it, and he's expressive.
Yes.
And he's not one of the people that is just going to be quiet. And he gets that very honestly from his mother. So the other day, he's sitting in class, a teacher and his idea is treating his friend wrong. And guess what he tells him? You're treating my friend unfairly, and I don't like the way you're talking to him.
Yep.
And as a nine-year-old in a fifth grade, that's not acceptable. What's your thoughts, Dana?
So, you know, I have a son who is similar to Messiah and very much like his mother, mm-hmm. Where if he didn't like something, he was very vocal. Mm-hmm. I will also say I spent almost every day at MMSD when my son was in school.
Yeah.
You know, my son is on the autism spectrum and, you know, being able to fight for his services, being able to make sure that he was seen. And the reality is that, you know, on some levels he was failed.
Yeah.
There are spaces where his learning gap was so great because mm-hmm. what they were concerned about
was behavior. Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
And, you know, this is a child that has a disability even, and, you know, Messiah does not have that piece, but the focus on especially young Black boys and behavior in our schools has been detrimental.
Yeah.
And how even, you know, I remember back in kindergarten, my son got into his very first fight. There was a little boy that was bullying him. And he's not the only person that bullied him, but mm-hmm. this was one that got into a fight. And then they kicked that little kid out. And guess what? That little kid was a dark-skinned Black kid.
Yeah.
And I said, no, we don't have to do that.
That wasn't the answer.
That wasn't the answer. So for me, the answer was I wanted my son in a different class.
Yeah.
So that little boy could stay put. And then my son went to a different space because I felt more comfortable with him in a different class. Because there were several things that were happening, but they were only focusing on
the Black boy.
That little Black boy.
Yeah. That's real. And I feel like that. I feel so sad for Messiah. I want to pull him out so bad. One of my things is I just need to find someone. If you're listening to 92.7 FM, the Black Conversion Show with Brandi Grayson, and you're a certified teacher, educator, and, you know, preferably a Black man, and you want to homeschool or do some schooling with my son, reach out, okay? Find me on Facebook, find me anywhere, because I am really at the point where I think he just needs to be homeschooled again. I just feel like he's not emotionally safe. And when kids aren't emotionally safe, they act up. And that's the thing. Like, we're not identifying the root of it, because I know my son isn't a bad kid, but I also know that he don't take crap from people. And the way that people talk at our kids, the way the structure is of the school is just about behavior and not relationships. See, the thing about people known as Black, in order for us to thrive, we have to feel safe in our community. We have to feel safe in relationship to the people that are surrounding us. We are not like white people. They can work in the office, not like each other, and still work and come and be fine and not be emotionally anything. And I'm telling you, if you read the books by Black psychiatrists, they tell us this. Like, we have a different, deeper need for community safety and relationships. And it's a must that we practice relating to one another to survive and thrive in the context of white supremacy. Any last words?
Yeah. So when we think about outside of the school system, and mm-hmm. there are spaces where mm-hmm. this does happen. And I actually just interviewed somebody this past week on my radio show.
Okay.
Where we talked a lot about this alternative education that started in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. And it is run on very specific principles that are rooted in Blackness, and it is rooted in joy and rooted not in. They rewrote the books. They rewrote the curriculum. They made sure that Blackness itself was centered in every space.
I love it.
So
that's,
you know,
the key.
Those are the things that we need is to surround our kids with joy, because it's coming from everywhere,
y'all. That's the antidote is joy, love, relating, y'all. We just do better, Black people. Heal your hearts. Get some therapy. Read some books. Study the psychiatrists who study you. Don't try to give Black people the white version of education. So anyway, we're out of time like always. Join us next week. Maybe we'll continue the conversation on Black education and bring a Black educator into the studio next Saturday. Thank you for joining us on the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM. Peace, love, and hair grease.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.